In studio, we of course have the USA Patriots amputee softball representatives with us, and Jeff, we got a couple of new gentlemen.
Yeah, we've got former Adrian Maple, Saul Vasquez, with us here, and his brother-in-law, and what you're the president too, aren't you? You got like some title.
Yeah, there's some title with it.
All right,
yeah.
Josh Wagge, and you guys are the cool thing is that you guys are two of the originals though too, right? I mean, which is nice. This started back in what 2011 was that the first year that you guys had your camp and decided that they were going to make this something that just wasn't going to be like a week long event.
Yeah, I mean they asked us initially. It was just supposed to be just a week long thing down at the University of Arizona, and you know, we got the taste of Silver Softball. Josh and his family got they played back at home, but I had no experience playing slow pitch softball outside of gym class.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't know how serious it was. And once I started playing, I realized I liked the game and wanted to play more. And I think the other guys were the same way and wanted something to do outside of the constant of always wanting to put us in a wheelchair,
right.
Wheelchair basketball, you know, all that stuff. And you know, they gave us prosthetics for a reason, and I wanted to use them, so I was glad to finally be playing a sport that wasn't adaptive.
Yeah, I know it was nice to just get out of, like, kind of the broken, and that's kind of a negative connotation,
right.
But the broken setting of the hospital, because there was trips to go to, like, snowboarding, but it was all adaptive sports, so it was nice to finally be able to do something that was ambulatory and kind of show off your skills and stuff like that. I knew when I went out there, I was the double going out there,
right.
The double amputee. So I knew I had a little bit of a complex. I was like, I got to keep up with these guys and, you know, made some lifelong friends.
But it is amazing. I still never forget. I tell people a lot of times, the first time I saw you guys play was when one of your first trips to Toledo, and Josh is diving for a ball, left field, comes up and throws it, and he's got one leg still laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Has to put his leg back on before he can do the next play. But I mean, but that's the great thing about it is you guys, you know, are able to you know, to do so much with you know, with your prosthetics now. And you know, I know is Saul's kind of still old school. He's not as, you know, new functioning as some of the other guys. But you know, I can't imagine though from what your guys' first prosthetics were when you first started playing to where they are now too.
Yeah, I'm that Vietnam vet who still has the wooden leg and just doesn't want to change it out because that's what he's used to and he's comfortable with it. So.
Yeah, I've definitely gone through a bunch of changes. I think if I total it up, I have like 30 pairs of legs, something like that, like over the years.
Right.
But mine went from a high-functioning foot to this modified running prosthetic that it kind of looks like I'm a flamingo out there now, but literally like bent back paper clips and stuff like that. But they work. I get to play outfield again, and it's just fun to be able to come out and, you know, meet up with your friends. But I mean, the purpose of this team was to originally kind of be a buddy check on each other, and just because we shared two things in common. We were both traumatically injured, and we served in the military, so we had this kind of brotherhood already, like in spirit, and then we were able to establish that on the field of competition in between the lines. So that just fortified that. But as we progressed, we were able to turn it into something that we could inspire people and do that just by playing a game, which is a really neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the disabled community. You know, it's each other. You know, I'll see Saul make a backhanded play on the third baseline, and it's incredible. You know, I'll watch Greg Reynolds out in the outfield, and he's got one arm and be able to catch the ball, flip it, and throw it back. Like, we're almost numb to it now, but it's incredible to watch, even as a teammate. But it does extend to the able-bodied community. You know, we're here to be role models, examples, and we lead by example just by playing a sport.
Can you tell us what led up to your injury, your amputee?
Like the story?
Yeah, the story behind it.
I joined the Marines right out of high school. I gave myself the summer to kind of still be a kid before I got yelled at for no reason. And I found myself in Afghanistan about a year later. It was my first deployment, and about 4 months in, my vehicle struck a 200-pound bomb, and it blew off my right leg at the spot, and then my left leg was still kind of there, but it was pretty severely injured. And so I woke up the next day without any legs below my knees. So I was a bilateral amputee. But it was good because some guys, they get injured like that and then they try to save the limb. And then a year later, they end up taking it off anyway. So I count it as a blessing that I woke up without legs and I was able to just kind of start fresh and move forward from there.
All right. Saul?
With me, I was holding on to the baseball dream for a couple of years after high school. And I was trying to play in college. And then eventually I realized that college wasn't for me at the time. So, without any schooling or training and anything else, and I didn't want to work in a factory, I was like, oh, well, I've always wanted to join the military. Let's go do that. So that's what I decided to do I think it was December 05. And then in January of 06, I was heading off to basic. I was stationed down at Fort Benning, Georgia, and then got deployed in March of 07. And then I was injured August 1st of 2007. So a couple of days ago was my alive day. It's what we call when the day we were injured, and we kind of, celebrate. You know, guys have different ways of doing it. But once I got to Walter Reed, I didn't even tell the story. August 1st got hurt. I could tell I was missing part of my toes on my right foot, and then at least part of my foot on my left leg. So once I got into the green zone and they did, I woke up from my initial surgery with half of my left foot gone and then my left leg broken in 13 different places. So once I had a couple of stops in between there and Walter Reed, and once I got to Walter Reed, they're asking me if I want to try to save my leg, like kind of like how Josh said, some guys will try to save it to, it's more of a vanity thing than an actual functional thing. And they said that there's no guarantee. And I said, well, then that's the only answer I needed right there. I was like, just cut it off at the highest point that is fractured at, and let's go after this. Let's do it. So I got hurt August 1st, and I was walking and running by the time Thanksgiving came around.
Wow.
So
short turnaround.
Well, I mean, all the guys on this team are motivated. It's just that's the reason why we're doing this and, not some of the other things that the guys do after they get hurt. So, once I saw guys walking and running, before I got my prosthetic, I knew that's when I knew I was going to be okay because I was going to be doing it faster and better than they were. It's just the competitive mentality. Being an athlete before, most guys will tell you it's what helped them be in the position they are now.
We've heard that Walter Reed is quite a place. They do a lot of great things there.
Yeah, so I was I was one of the, earlier guys of being hurt. There's a couple of guys who were hurt before me, but for the most part, I was hurt before most of the guys were even in the military. So I was at old Walter Reed, and, they had those old horror stories of stuff that was in the Washington Post and things like that, but I never experienced any of those, and I've had nothing but great experiences at Walter Reed, and I think most of the guys will say the same.
Yeah, Saul got in before I even signed the dotted line, so he was injured already before I even thought about being a Marine. But my experience at Walter Reed was very, very similar. Great. The occupational therapist, the physical therapist, the whole medical staff. I was a Marine, so I went to Bethesda Naval Hospital to do surgeries and stuff, and then did my therapy at Walter Reed, the prosthetic care and all that stuff. But it was really easy to kind of be down and feel sorry for yourself when you were stuck in a wheelchair and you weren't super mobile. But I remember it was a flipping a switch when I got my prosthetics, because it was game on. And the competitive side was definitely something that fueled me, because you'd see people. And I started off with the bilaterals, and I was like, I'm going to beat that guy's time. I'm going to beat his whatever. You just get super competitive. And then the bilaterals became not enough of a challenge, and I started – there's one guy I'm still chasing, which is a good thing. His name is Rob Brown, and he was a unilateral, a single leg below the knee, and he's a Paralympian and stuff like that. But it's always good to have somebody to chase.
Again, you're listening to Inside the Cave. We got two guys from the USA Patriots amputee softball team, Saul Vasquez and Josh Weggie. And Josh, I know you're talking about this. You've competed in a few other things besides softball. I mean, you have done some running events and some different. I know Saul. Did you ever swim?
I did one. I did one event. Full out event of stuff. But then. Then my son was born, so that kind of derailed that.
But you've competed in a few different things, Josh.
Yeah, I they had this thing called, or they actually still have it. I think it's going on right now. It's called the Warrior Games, and it's kind of like an interbranch competition between the military, kind of set up like the Paralympics. And I use it as like a mark of the end of my therapy. So I've competed in that once back in 2011. That was the end of my therapy. That's when I got out of the hospital. And then I also got to compete in the Invictus Games, which is a similar thing, but it's international. So you have Team USA versus the UK and all that kind of stuff. And that was really neat. I got to run in both of those and play wheelchair basketball and sit down volleyball in the Warrior Games.
So do you guys both do this full-time, the softball program?
Yeah, Josh and I probably, since 2011, since this whole thing started, we've probably made close to 80 or 90% of the events since 2011.
Wow.
So there's a couple of other guys who are just a little bit below us on percentage-wise, but then, you know, there's other guys who make it just as much, but just haven't been doing it as long as we have.
So you guys are trying to raise money, and it's a free will donation, I guess, right? And,
yes. Yes.
Does that pay the bills?
Yeah, I mean, we have to. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so we have to rely on donations to kind of to complete our mission. And as a softball team, as I mentioned before, it's to try to motivate, inspire, and serve. Serve beyond the military uniform is kind of a catchphrase that we use. We traded in the camouflage for red, white, and blue, USA on our chest. Yeah. And for the kids camp, a large part of the donations that we have go to try to put on a camp. So the annual camp itself, we're able to actually sponsor a guardian and a kid. We shoot for 20 families, and that's a pretty large endeavor, monetary endeavor. And then also, I think we didn't have alumni camp for the first 4 years or so after we had kids camp, but I remember talking and we were just like, this isn't good enough. You know, kids camp is kind of a one and done thing, you know, cause we want other families to experience it. You know, once you're there, like it was kind of like, hey, kind of see you later. And, that wasn't good enough. So we wanted to like see where they were, see where they were in life, and bring them back. So that's when alumni camp started. Right now, we don't really have the funding to do the same thing we do with alumni with the annual camp. So it's kind of on the parents and the families to get to the location. We're not able to fund it at this point, but that's why we're trying to raise money and grow as an organization.
Is the camp located at the same place each year?
No. No, the camp has been traveling. The annual camp itself, it showed up in D.C. 2 years in a row, but every other year, we've been to Disney World, Disneyland, Louisville, Kentucky, New Hampshire, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
You're in Florida, the Madeira Beach.
We're in Madeira. And then the alumni camp has also kind of traveled from like Branson, Missouri to Madeira Beach, now to Adrian, Michigan.
Well, and the cool thing, too, is so you guys play able-bodied teams. And these are more exhibitions when you go into the different towns and travel. But you guys also play, South Dakota, North Dakota, where do you play in the big...
North Dakota. North Dakota. McQuaid's, it's the... I believe it's the biggest softball tournament in the world. I think they had 430 teams this past year, but, I mean, that's, you know, female, male...
Right, a bunch of different divisions.
Bunch of divisions, but still, that many teams in, you know, in North Dakota, of all places, and that's, you know... But it's a great time, and you know, if anyone who's a softball fan who hasn't experienced McQuaid's, I recommend it at least once because it's amazing.
But the cool thing about that one too is that's where you guys can actually kind of go and be a little more competitive, is saying let's go play as a, you know, the exhibitions and having fun with some of the local places you go to. Yeah, you want to win and you want to have fun, but that one is where it's like, all right, this is just us playing softball right now.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about the show, quote unquote,
right,
of it whenever we do the exhibitions, which, you know, we love doing, but you know, every once in a while we want to be competitive and just concentrate on the softball, and that's it.
And when you do that, I imagine the guys out in McQuaid too probably are like, "Holy cow!" You know, because when you come into a town, everybody knows the expectations and what you're doing, and it is great. But when probably you got that many teams walking around a park and seeing you guys walking in and going, who are these guys? And then watching you play, it probably really surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, it's the cool thing about this team is it's just a perspective flip. You know, when you're going out there and you're seeing guys missing body parts, it's it's got to be something to see, because like the bumps and scrapes of life just kind of seem to fade away after you see something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the number of times we've heard from guys on the other team, they're like, "Oh, I got, you know, I did this to my ankle, or I got hurt during the game, but you know, I'll be, you know, I'm not going to say anything for playing against you guys. Like, what can I possibly say?"
Right. Oh yeah, I slid that raspberry on my hips really bad.
Yeah. Well, the game is coming up. Actually, there are three games coming up this Saturday, August the 6th, at Adrian College Nicolay Field. Opening ceremonies at 11:15 a.m. Can you tell what's going to happen during the opening ceremonies?
That would be a Janet Dillard question, and she's not here right now.
Okay. So. Janet, if you're listening. Well, it says here a color guard, national anthem, and the first pitch from 11:15, I guess, right. Through game time. And first game will pit your team, the USA Patriots, versus the honorably mentioned. Who are the honorably mentioned?
I'm not sure if this is the there's a couple of guys I know that every time we come here, they get a team together. I'm not sure which team is which, but it's just a bunch of local guys that play, and hopefully they're not ringers like it has been before, but but it's just local guys, and you know, we play, and it's a good time. I think each year has been at least a couple of guys that I played baseball with back a long, long time ago, yeah. So it's always fun to see them.
That's great. That'll start at 12 noon. Game two will be the alumni kids game at around 1:30. And then the third game will be the Patriots versus the Squares team. And who are the Squares?
I think for that team, to play on that team, you had to donate to try to win for Squares something. Yeah, okay. And that's how they got on the team.
Okay. Yeah, so which is kind of cool. So that'll be neat. You know what? You guys are having breakfast that morning, and then I know you guys are having some of the Eagle Riders help bring you along and as a little motorcade to get to the stadium.
Yeah, those are probably some of the coolest things that we have had at some of our events. Of the motorcycle riders will go, and then they'll just cut off traffic and upsetting the town. And but it is what it is, and a lot of the kids will go through, and they love it. So
it is kind of neat. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you guys for coming in and telling us all about the USA Patriot amputee softball team.
And we got new jerseys to hang on the wall, too, Pat.
All
right. Some new USA Patriots.
We need some new stuff.
Their early days when they were the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team. I got a jersey from that, too.
Yep.
All right. And thanks again for coming in. And also, thank you very much for your service.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.